Accession number 30342, reel 19.
And because that would include everybody that you're on the cattle truck with.
Yeah. And, you don't know the names, then,
you? Oh, no, but there'll be the odd one that you do, that you will.
L-M-N-O-P, L, which is really good. Bland is Bland's.
And you still, he's put a...
No, well, I... It's Len Bland, that's what it was. Is any more Blands now?
The thing is, it's organised by army numbers, see, so you've got to, like, plough through all the army numbers.
You see, you could call Len, but...
Yeah, he might have been called Bill or something. You know,
could have been that.
Much like you, I mean, before I came here, I saw that thing in the Shields Gazette quite a few years ago now, O.S. MacDonald.
O.S., yeah.
And in the Shields Gazette, you'd understand MacDonald.
Yeah.
And... You know, and it was like, and I figured, well, his army numbers name my old man's. I bet he put into his
system. Yeah, I bet he was. I bet Oswald, you don't let anybody know. Because
but I thought, I'm fairly certain. I got a feeling he must have been at the Sedgenham battle and taken prisoner. But you don't know, because if you look at that list of casualties, look at that fellow that was buried at Middlesbrough. He could have actually been with you in that battle, being wounded like Foster, sent back to England, recovered.
Yeah.
And obviously they're not going to send him all the way out to Italy. So,
you see these Blands here. It's just Bland, isn't it?
I thought it was, did you say it was Blount?
Bland, where's the pictures here? Oh yeah, I've got a little part of this one. Nice picture of the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, I put it in an envelope, is it? It's in here. That's it. Because I said I'd put it in there.
Is that the original one, is it?
I said I'd put, well, it was in there, you've took it out.
Yeah.
If you've kept it in there, then you know where it is.
Yeah. It's where the hospital is. It's where tax functions.
You're worse, you've got less, you're less organised than I am.
Oh,
yeah,
that's what you'd organise. I tried to organise it, but I got what I've organised.
Yeah. I think that's the stuff we'll just look at.
Yeah,
no. I've copied his name anyway, because I've got
his address as well.
Because it's copied on the back. It's copied on the back of the original photograph.
It was, yeah.
But the original photograph, you know, it wasn't.
I've got it here.
Aye, yeah.
I've put it somewhere safe, and it's so safe. Yeah. I don't even know where I got it.
Aye. Maybe them should go in the envelope. And then you'd put it, I don't know. Now that'd be the best place to put it, because I put POW, but at least you know your POW stuff's in the same envelope. So if I put your POW stuff in there.
Yeah, okay.
And, at least you'll save it. Yeah. Can you remember where you got the banknote from?
No.
Because what it must have been
when I was a prisoner.
Aye, but it's a proper banknote, it's not camp money, isn't it? Not?
Oh, no, it's a pair.
Because I'm in touch with one of the German paratroopers you were fighting. You know, I forgot to bring the bullet. You know, the bullet that hit him. I should have brought it up. I meant to bring it over to say sure. But I'll have to photocopy that and send it to him and ask
well,
him.
Give me. I mean, it only gets turned away. It's getting turned away. You only got
turned. Oh no, it's a family.
It's not good to be at all, you see, because all these things I'm doing now, great, no, that's reminiscent for me, but. Couple of years from now, when I've turned my toes, but whatever, this is just snuggled.
Yeah.
It's a shame, but that's where the life is.
Mm. So I'll put these in here anyway.
Okay.
I'll put them back.
You can keep that. I'm going to keep that then.
Are you sure?
I don't want to know. It's no good me having it, because it only gets thrown away. If you can find something else, somebody might be interested in somewhere along the line, I don't know. But we should get all kinds of.
It's got the document. It's got your document in there anyway. Right. So right. So I'll put it on my website anyway. That'll be.
All these tapes and all that I've got in here are all old movies and things like that. Because like I told you the other day, I'm a bit of a film buff and that. Mm-hmm. I take all the oldies if I can.
Yeah. What you tape off the telly?
Sorry.
You tape old films on the telly.
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Yeah, because I do that. I'd have to do that for a lot.
You see, I've been around. I'm not a prude. I know what the bad laws and all that, but I've done it. I've done it.
Yeah, I just switched up. Right, Mr. McDonald, this is the last thing. This is the stills from the movie footage. And I figured if you could just flick through them and just any observations that spring to mind. This is the first day of the battle taken by the Army Film Unit. And that's the hills being shelled. That's some of the daylight coming back. I mean, we've looked at the film earlier. And just any observations on this as we go.
So, but that, if you remember me telling you about the cactus,
mm-hmm.
you know, having to go through there.
Yeah.
And the big cactus needs sticking right in,
uh-huh.
right at here, though. Well, quite long and all that.
And that's an example of it. That's an example of those cactuses.
More or less, yeah.
I'll just hold it like that in a few years.
Yeah, and they really were dreadfully painful. And I thought it was very fortunate to walk through them anyway.
Yeah.
Rather hacking my way through, but it's too late now.
Other veterans have talked about that was one of the problems with that battle, was that because of the thick scrub, you couldn't see anything unless you kind of got up above the scrub.
Yeah.
And when you got up above the scrub, you got shot at.
Exactly.
And so you had to like keep under the scrub all the time, and so that was. What do you think would have been the I mean, obviously, if it had been reversed with you on top of the hill and the Germans advancing, obviously that would have been a different.
Well, I would have thought
it would have been exactly the same. Yeah, yeah.
See, because you see, if you just think about it from a common sense angle, if you're on the hill, shall we say here, and you're looking up.
Uh-huh.
And his coach, you're going to see here. You see, you're not going to see here because they'll have all the earth here, all the ground behind them. So you're not, but you stand up and you'll stand up in the light, as it were, not have got a background, you know.
Mm.
So it's much easier to see than I would imagine.
Is that how, I suppose, with
that's how we were an easier target than they were for us.
And in terms of Barrington Jones, that would probably be how he got hit then, would be to try to find out what was going on.
It probably was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of just going back to those people, looking at Babington Jones and Dorian and the other officers, was Babington Jones the one that stood out in the battle for you?
Well,
or just was it just because
he was alongside of me when he got hit, and I told you the story earlier on when he got examined by the German doctors. They said that leg's got to come off. He just keeled over and died, more or less. That's the impression I got at that time, which I probably...
Did you have to carry him back to the German hospital?
Well, they must have done.
Yeah, so this was a little bit after the battle.
You see, right, you get taken prisoner by the Bukshi soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to work around the front line, as it were, and go back. And probably the rest of the battalion had retreated, I don't know. And we were getting looked after then. And the Germans first, then the British lads, that was the German wounded were getting looked after, and all else were getting looked after. And I say this, but I think the Jones was shot in the leg, and the doctor come along and says to him, I'm afraid that leg has got to come off. And he just killed over and died. This is as far as I know.
Yeah, there was a period of time between being wounded.
Oh yeah.
So were the Germans treating their own wounded first before the British, or were they?
Well, as far as I know, I remember as I was taken prisoner, I was walking back towards the Germans to go like in apparent safety of the German part. I saw one German walking towards me, and he was literally holding his stomach. It had been all shot away, and all that. I thought, oh hell, what's going to happen now when I see this guy? And you know, we're the guys. That's what we're responsible for, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit timid and all that, you know. But pretty fair. The doctors were quite good. And like I say, they went through all the fellas that was wounded. And one of the officers, one of our officers, not in the DLI, I don't think particularly, he had been shot in the leg. And the bullet that was still in, but of course, when a bullet goes in, it's like red hot metal.
Mm.
So you're screaming out, you know. And after that, certainly you've got a hell of a pain, but it's not... screaming, drop that on. Mm. He was just walking towards us, giving everybody a bollocking and things like that, for different things. Whatever, you know.
What do you mean, giving you a bollocking?
Well, come on, put yourself together. You get over here and all that. No, smart yourself up and all that. You know, you're certainly always what's thinking that, you know.
So he was trying to cheer you
up. Just cheer you up, make you realise that you'd probably be a soldier, sort of thing.
How many wounded do you think there were altogether when you were coming through?
That I don't know. There was about 16 or more behind alongside of us, not.
And how many Germans? I mean, was it a busy? Were these doctors busy? Were they?
You see, you're lying down and you're afraid to move. And I told you to stay about me having the grenades in my pouch, which you had to get rid of in case the search been found them. I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I better get rid of this. So I sort of seek them away somewhere. And then they got around to treating my day, taking that drink needle out and things like that.
But they were busy. It was a busy casualty clearance station.
Oh, they were very, very busy. Yeah, you know. Of course, some fella very seriously wounded. That, you know.
Mm. Would that be both their men and ours?
Oh yeah.
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 Do you remember anything about the little spotter plane that was ferrying out the wounded?
No.
Can't remember that.
No. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the photograph. So this is this is the one with the big cactus and the men walking past the cactus.
Yeah. Or walking towards it, which
yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. This could be any.
That's a sort of structure, sort of a lift your head above, know that you're just all about.
Yeah.
And there's a cactus again, you see how tall they are, don't
you? Yeah. That's looks like a Bren section moving back.
It does, doesn't it?
You've got one fellow with a tripod.
That's right,
yeah.
Could have been a mortar. A little mortar gun at the fire.
Yeah, so that's that one. These are men moving forward in the scrub, or hiding in the scrub.
Yeah.
You can see he's hiding in the scrub.
Yeah.
Again, they could be. I mean, they are the 16th DLI, but they could be any battalion, really. Any company.
Oh yes, indeed,
We move forward again. Similar thing. I mean, obviously, this soldier's seeing the camera, so he's like pretending to be doing an Errol Flynn impression, I think. Now, other veterans have said that might be Matthew Stapledon. But he's a lad with glasses.
No, that could well be Stapledon.
Yeah. Was he just stand out with the glasses? What about the man next to him? Any ideas?
So that lad was on that photograph there, I think.
So that one, get it?
The Polish one, the one that's...
Yeah, I'm trying to get the big ones so we can...
No, I've got it here.
No, I've got the big ones because I'm...
Oh, you took the big ones.
His back because we've marked... That's the one I want to give you. I'm taking stuff away that I'm giving you. Those are the sergeant's photograph. Remember I was going to give you the sergeant's photograph. I'm taking them away again. I'll just switch this off. Right, we found the photograph. And you think that man there is on the photograph? The fellow behind what we think could be Stapledon.
Yeah, but...
Well, there's two sides, remember, Sophie?
Yeah.
We don't like that. That's the other side. Do one at a time. This is the other one.
Yeah, I think that's probably him there.
That's
that here.
This one.
I don't know who it is.
Probably.
That's the one behind Stapledon.
Yeah.
Because we think it's Stapledon.
Yeah, and that's obviously...
You have a look and see if you can see if there's someone around there.
Well, I think you might be... Because obviously we've got the hat. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
You see this guy here?
Yeah, I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's Stapledon there. Obviously, he's the only man with glasses. So, you know.
Well, I don't think I'd recognise him as Stapledon, that one there.
You wouldn't?
No.
This one here.
You see, he may not have had his glasses on when this was taken.
Yeah, yeah. Do you mind if I... let his nephew know that I've been in touch with you.
Who's stupid?
Yeah, he's got his nephew. I told you, remember, he's a bobby up in Staffordshire.
But he's just about, no harm done.
Well, but he'd probably want to ring you up. That's the thing.
Well, you listen back to them to be ringing up.
I'll tell them that you did remember him. The thing is, he's written a little booklet about his uncle. That's a nice for. I mean, the thing is, I'll give away my last one to Tom Turnbull.
Oh yeah.
What he would do, he would post you this little booklet, which is a nice little booklet. You know, it's just a booklet just about his uncle, like the remembrances, a couple of photographs, and a little bit about the battle and so on.
Yeah.
I think you're right about. I think you're definitely right about him.
I think it is himself.
Is he just men moving forward? This is interesting because this is obviously an NCO and he's carrying the Thompson machine gun and the rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the posture of him, you can say he's an NCO. I think the way he's. But this is the terrain, and obviously, as you say, you're struggling. You can see people struggling through it. Really, this is on the first day, though. This isn't the day you're taking.
You see, as soon as you stand up, you're visible.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
See, whereas on a hill, there's no skyline behind you for a minute. Because on a hill, the hill goes up, say 50 or 60 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't see any daylight, shall we say, because you get above that. It's the sky above that 50, 60 feet of it.
Mm.
So you've got a dark background. So the Germans had the advantage. But when you stood up here, and you've got the sky there to see, you're very easily seen, aren't you?
Mm. So that's that one.
And two more.
Yeah, keeps going on. Again, it's just more of the terrain. I mean, this could be you. I mean,
could be anybody.
It could be anybody, really. Men moving forwards, going into the plane.
Yeah.
That's the extended order as they move across towards the hills. This is on about how far do you think you got? I mean, if you remember, you know, I think this will have been the day that Sergeant Dowell ended up in the river. About how far do you think you got forward on the first day?
Is this river here?
Well, no, I think that's just a puddle. I think where the river is, it's there's like a river bed. This is
big company here.
Yeah, and you said you thought.
You
said you thought this might be Harry Gregory as well.
Yeah.
That name rang a bell with you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's right. It's Bob Wallace.
I mean, this is Tom Turnbull's caption.
Yeah.
So that you think it could be right. That could be. That's another shot of him as well. There's two.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sid Shutt remembers this lad on the end being a casualty.
Yeah.
Early, you know, in the last attack.
Yeah.
He's fairly certain that he's somebody that was
in
killed.
The court, isn't he? That's not Bev, is it? No, Bev's on the other one, isn't he?
Yeah, you've got Beveridge there.
Yeah, that's Bev there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Bev here.
Yeah. Was that his nickname, then, Bev? He was a good friend of a fella called Gordon Gent, but he was in HQ company, because Mr. Gent, I mean, he's well into his 90s now, but he was saying that George Beveridge was a good pal of his. You know, they were drinking buddies and so on. But they were in different companies, so I think what it was they trained together in the training squads before they, you know, and that's how they were pals.
Yeah,
but he said George Beveridge was a good pal of his. I'll make you another one of these. They're easy to do. You know, you just print them off on the computer.
I know this. There was quite a nice bloke as well. You know,
yeah.
I know him. And I know this chap, and of course, that's of course where they want to talk about it. Stop the soap company and use his striker because he was.
Webb. Which one's Webb? Which one's Webb?
That's Webb.
Webb.
Webb. This one here.
Webb.
Yeah. Have we got it written there?
No, we haven't. That's all that?
That's Corporal Webb it was.
That's Corporal Webb. I think that's a new name, see, we've got another one.
Yeah.
The good thing about this machine is, see, you know how long that lasts?
Yeah.
If you left it on, guess how long it lasts?
4 or 5 hours?
20 hours.
Really?
20 hours.
God, yeah.
That's why the quality's not that good, because it's like a computer thing, it compresses it.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, I'll be good.
I remember Webb one time, there was something he done, and I think it was this fellow pretending he was going on to bed or something. And Webb was upstairs in this house we were in.
Where was this at?
It was in Winchester, in Royal Winchester.
Yeah, that was it, pre-Groenabord.
And this Webb ran away from him, and this bloke ran up after him with his rifle and bayonet, and stuck the bayonet right through the door. You know, and he was only taking a Mickey, you know, and Webb was petrified.
Mm-hmm. Why was he trying to go, or how was he pretending, this fella?
Well, you see, he was always taking a Mickey when he was showing up. When a bloke is not the very brightest, this one everybody picks on him and all that. And Webb wasn't the very brightest and all that, you know. And he was an old soldier company where we were, and I think he got me to be a corporal because he was the only one that had the know-how, because we were all greenhorns and that. You know?
No, I think that is a new name. We haven't had that one. So, so we'll keep on going. So that could be Harry Gregory.
Yeah, could be.
That's the last shot. These would be the stretcher bearers that would be coming up behind you.
You see, this one here struggling. I feel I've seen him.
Yeah.
But. They never saw the picture with us for some reason.
Because Jimmy Cairns was a good friend of Tom Atkinson, who was a stretcher bearer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, he was a bit from a different regiment, wasn't he?
Well, I'm not sure, but Tom Atkinson was attached to B Company, and he was taken prisoner. I mean,
Is he still around?
He might be. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't. This is where Ken Lovell will be able to tell you, because. It's strange because Ken had his newsletter, and Tom Atkinson's granddaughter was asking for information on anybody that knew him. Where you think, well, he can't still be here, because I mean, if he was alive, you know, he'd have told her. Because I mean, I know for a fact that because I've talked to Tom Atkinson. I mean, he gave us that squad photograph, and I think if he was still alive, he would have. He would have said, well, I know him, and I know him, and I know him. He wouldn't need his granddaughter to ask who he knew, because he knew. But there, I think that's the river that goes further up, and I think that's, you know, I don't know which angle we're at, where it would be, kind of.
Yeah.
But that's, because they're obviously sheltering in the riverbank, undercover. And that's Griffin, the medical sergeant. He would have been the fellow that administered the injections, Nurse Griffin. He's the fellow that lived round here somewhere, either Welland Garden, Sydney, after the war. He died in the early 70s, though. He was only about 50 when he died. He wasn't a really old man. Again, that's the stretcher bearers coming back.
Yeah.
That's the French troops, First World War. That's the fellow that got hit by the bullet.
Yeah.
German. That's the commando bloke that was on the side of the hill my father was on, and that's my dad's story that I did a lot of difficulty getting sorted out, but. And I had to work out that C Company were with this group of commandos. Mm-hmm. And so their version of the battle is completely different to yours because they're on a different side of the hill, doing, you know, different things at different times. That's his story getting hit by that. I should have brought the bullet across. When I see you in the new year, I'll bring it. That's a Forester's carrier going through Saint-Genest. It's got the number 68. Mm-hmm. That's my old man, obviously. It's strange when you look at the photographs because. Some people have the full set, you know, they have the divisional flash, the DLI flash, and the armour service. And some people don't have the divisional flash. And I don't know whether that would be.
I had somebody got on one time. You haven't remembered that.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah.
Southern Command or something like
that. No, that's actually divisional. I mean, this was taken in early 42, and that's your 46.
Yeah, that was your dad because he was in the same battalion.
Yeah. You'd have. Your 46th Division flash, obviously your DLI shoulder titles, which you'd always have, and the three little stripes below, that's your brigade.
Yeah.
You'd have one, you know, the other brigades would have either one or two stripes.
He's quitting the first time he's had it.
Well, I think it's one of the other fellows was saying that you must have forked out for like an, because apparently there was like a rifle green version of the hat.
Yeah.
And a normal, and my father, because he was like, he was a, you know, he was, like a lot of, like, well, all of you in the 40s, everybody was trying to look like a film star kind of thing.
Of course,
and he thought, you know, well, you didn't have much going for you, you hobnailed boots and your battle dress, so he obviously thought if he got the rifle green hat,
or giving them Beret.
This is the captain, I thought. Because they used to say only two sides of the British Army, big, too small and too big.
Yeah, yeah.
Now goes something up, really.
That's the little plane, that's the German fella sent us that, because apparently that was the casualties. From the clearing hospital were flown out to Ferryville, that's the
yeah, yeah.
And it was blown up by the British, you know, it was hit by a shell.
Ferryville.
And that's probably...
Ferryville might have been the place that we got took to.
I think it was, aye.
We got a... We went on the front line for a fair time. They got what you call a recuperation break or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they got took us, say, to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Which it should have been a hospital because they come and bombed us.
Yeah.
You see, which was a very bad thing on the part of the British Army there, but they should have put us in a rest camp,
uh-huh.
And they were intently bombed us, but they shouldn't bombed, they shouldn't took us to hospital where they bombed us.
Were you there when it was bombed?
Well, it was, well, I don't know, they dropped bombs there, whether it was there, and what he can't, I don't recall.
How long
I thought it was a very bad show. You see, if you're in a fighting fit man, we were. And you get taken out to have a rest to sort of recuperate and get yourself, you know, your batteries recharged, shall we say.
Mm.
Okay, but you shouldn't put it to hospital with a wounded and all that. They're just there when they get there.
So the recuperation centre was in the hospital?
It shouldn't have been.
And the Germans, and so that when the Germans bombed the hospital...
Well, in order.
It was really because they were really bombing serviceable,
exactly,
fit troops.
Exactly, yeah.
Did you think that at the time then? What were you...
Well, at the time I thought... I'm glad they got it. But I thought we said they shouldn't do that. You know, I remember thinking that to myself that they should have done that. You know, because it wasn't that long anyway.
Yeah. Was it bombed? So it was bombed. You weren't actually at this place when it was bombed.
I was. I don't think I remember now. But the hospital, if it wasn't actually bombed, they were bombing near it, but it didn't get hit the target, so to say. That's what it's like that.
Yeah, because apparently what
the happened... The dangers were definitely what they
thought. Yeah, because it was obviously said that it was getting attacked quite regularly, the area, but apparently it did get dive-bombed.
The hospital did?
Yeah.
Who knew that?
Oh, aye. This fella, Jimmy James, on the D Company photograph, Jimmy was actually in this place. It was an old tobacco factory, apparently, that they turned into a hospital. And the rest camp. I mean, I never knew what you said about the rest camp, but it explains why it was bombed.
Yeah.
Really, that's the fascinating bit that you've just told us,
because
it explains.
Well, I thought that was quite wrong.
Yeah.
We're glad you got out.
Because the other version of the tale was just didn't mention the rest camp. They just mentioned the hospital, as if the Germans had deliberately bombed the hospital. But they hadn't. They were bombing a legitimate target. So that's.
Of course, they may have bombed them same anyway.
Oh,
you know, that's a new thing.
Yeah. That's the fellow that took the pictures, and he pops up, you know, that famous footage of the Belsen concentration camp, where you see the concentration camp victim sitting in the road and holds shakes the sergeant's hand, and it's him.
I'll tell you another thing to come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I was getting away from the prison camp, trying to get towards the Americans, because that's why I mentioned this before, I don't know.
To tell us.
But I had some swag and some club note and pinch in that, you know, see.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a loaf of bread about as big as this, shall we say. And there's this Russian sitting on the curb, just sitting there, I guess. I thought, oh, that poor bugger there. I'll go and give him this bread. So I went up to give the bread, as you're sitting there now, talking to him about the best he could. He didn't ask me. Look, Lord, he had been shot in the back of the head. He was sitting there dead. And I was trying to talk to a dead body in this loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing sticks in my mind.
Yeah. And he could have been killed by anybody, really.
Well, he had been killed by a German, I would imagine, anyway.
Yeah.
He had been. He wasn't sort of shot and killed. Really, he was shot when he was sat there.
Yeah.
He must have been sat down and just said, bomb was walking like.
Sure. Well, did you, I mean, this is moving into that period again, but was there any incidents, I mean, one of the other ex-POWs, Pat O'Sullivan, Sheryl Forrester, he said that in his work camp, when the Russians were on the way, one of the Russian prisoners, you know, because everybody worked for various, you know, in that camp, it was like little outfits than you had, you know, little small workshops and so on. And he was saying that one of the Russian prisoners that he knew just murdered his boss, just killed him. Were there any examples of revenge like that? Can you remember any examples where people just...
No, I told you that story, which seems a bit fantastic, but it was quite true.
Oh, about the fingernail.
Yeah, that's it.
But he didn't have to do that, because it was done for him by...
It was done for him.
Fate,
it was done when they were striking with a big hammer.
Yeah.
And the splinter of the... You know, you're hitting a big